Right, so maybe I have a little bit extra time.
Yeah.
But Amanda Free is our Arkansas Cotton Verification Sustainability Coordinator. Her daddy's having a little bit of high blood pressure problems, and they went to the hospital on Christmas Eve, and they thought they had it under control, and went back again, and then just before she was going to drive up here, had problems again, so they stayed at home. I told her I would work through this talk for her. Before we start, I want to start off by thanking Cotton Incorporated for their support of this program. A lot of times I forget to thank them at the end, so I want to thank them at the front end. And also of all the other people working on this, a lot of y'all probably know Archie Flanders, but working with Mike Daniels, a water quality guy, Chris Henry, an irrigation guy. And I've got Steve Stevens, Joe Whittington, and David Wilde, which are three farmers that we're working with in that situation. And, you know, we talk about sustainability. I think this talk and the next talk are going to be on sustainability. And, you know, you start off with a guy with long hair and a big beard, so you got a hippie up here talking about sustainability, so you might not know which way we go. But when we got into sustainability, I was working with the National Cotton Council and had the opportunity to partner with the council with Dr. Johnson with the Texas Alliance for Water Conservation and do some pilot programs just to see how the calculator worked. And so really enjoyed the opportunity to work with Dr. Johnson on that. But, you know, when you look at what's going on in the supply chain, you know, there's a big emphasis on sustainability. And it's all the way through the supply chain. And the one thing that the cotton industry, the U.S. cotton industry has done and teamed with the Australian cotton industry is we want to make sure that when our, you know, our brands and retailers are really pushing this, but if somebody's sourcing fiber to make t-shirts or whatever cotton products they want, we want to make sure U.S. cotton is on their shopping list. There's different initiatives out there like BCI and several others, but we want to make sure U.S. cotton is on their shopping list. And part of a U.S. cotton industry strategy, and this is kind of a business-to-business, so we don't hear a lot of that, hear a lot of conversations about cotton leads because it is a business-to-business. But one of the things that Cotton Leads is doing is, you know, if you're going to walk the walk, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. So how are we going to back up what we're saying? And so our strategy in the U.S. is to work with field-to-market Alliance for Sustainable Agriculture. And, you know, we look at that. I don't know how many of y'all have heard about this, but it's, you know, everybody, here's a list I got from the website, kind of the most current members. But you see NRCS is on the list, a number of universities are on the list, grower organizations are on the list, a lot of our brands and retailers are on this list. So we got, but everybody in common, you know, has agriculture in common. And so we want to figure out, you know, what can agriculture do as a whole to kind of tutor whistle, I think, and it starts all the way through the supply chain. You know, if you go back in, you know, with field to market, there's a number of things that they do. They've got an indicators report that they put together, and we see this in basically in 30 years to grow a bale of cotton or a pound of cotton, however you want to look at it. You know, we use 30% less land area to grow a bale of cotton, and a lot of that's increased yield. Look at soil loss. You know, we lose 68% less soil through erosion, wind, and water to grow a bale of cotton than we did 30 years ago. Irrigation water use efficiency, 75%. The easiest way to get an increase on this efficiency is to increase yield, and we are seeing a big yield increase. But if you look at the amount of actual water that we're pumping on our fields, you know, we're pumping less water, so we are more efficient. So we're increasing yields and being more efficient, so we get see a lot bigger change in our number. And you see energy use, greenhouse gas. But the supply chain is very serious about this. A lot of folks in the supply chain have goals, and I've heard, you know, like the 2020, where they want to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 20% before the year 2020. And so, but I tell you, the supply chain is very serious about this. But, you know, like a Walmart or a Tyson, you know, with their big fleets, there's a lot of things they can do internally. But they also want to go to the products that they source to show that they're responsibly produced. And the field print calculator offers as a source on that. So just kind of set that up for the field print calculator. That's an online tool with field to market. And basically, we just go through and all the inputs that we do within a year go into that. With a field print calculator, we keep track of energy. It takes into account their calculations on greenhouse gas emissions. But this one big program, it took a lot of algorithms from a lot of different places and kind of put in under the hood of one car. And that was some of the things that I did with the National Cotton Council and working with Dr. Johnson. Andy Jordan did the same thing working in Louisiana, just to see if all these different components together under the hood of this car actually worked on cotton. And we made a lot of changes in the program because it wasn't very user-friendly, was it, Dr. Johnson, when we first started? It's better now, but there's still a lot of places where I think a grower can get high-centered. but anyway, the metrics that we look at are land use, which is basically lint yield, soil conservation, which is soil erosion. We do Russell 2 for water erosion, WIPS right now for wind erosion. Soil carbon, that's an index, soil conditioning index. So the index, the data that the calculator puts together that are indexed, I don't really have in any of my calculations or the tables, but we're actually, when we look at soil erosion, we have a number, whether it's 1.1 tons per acre or we lose 4 tons per acre, we have those numbers. Irrigation water use. The bottom line is we look at how many more pounds, in this case cotton, do we produce per inch of water over the dry land yield. In the calculator, it's presented a little bit different, but that's the bottom line. We're looking at, how much more efficient we were with the water. Water quality index, that's an edge of field water quality. That's an index, so that's a qualitative number. Energy use and greenhouse gas calculates those. I know when we look at this and we get into this, we can fine tune this into pieces, and there's weaknesses. But this is we had to start somewhere, and we're starting with this, and this is the field print version number 2 that we're on right now. But down the road, we're looking at 3 that's going to make this calculator a lot better than it is now. When I've worked with NRCS agronomists in Texas and in Arkansas too, they both say, or all of them I've worked with in Louisiana too, they say, this isn't Russell 2, it's not exact science, but a farmer can sit down in a matter of an hour or so, get a pretty good idea of where they sit. One of the output from the field print calculator is a spider graph. And I know when I first started looking at spider graphs, it was not so easy to figure out, just like this mouse on this computer. Oh, here we go. But we look at, land use, which is basically, for the field print, it's basically the inversion of lint yield. But the main thing I want you to look at, halfway between the center and the outside, is our national average. So the field print calculators, the results are normalized so that halfway between the center and the outside is our national average. And then as we go in, here we go. Here you get it to plot either the county average or the state average. And we can argue about how accurate we think that is. But the main thing I like to look at is the shaded area in the middle. That's your footprint for that field. And this is a field print calculator, so that's not a footprint for your farm. It's for each individual field. And I talked about energy a while ago. We go in, if it's irrigated, we need to know how much energy was involved in pumping. And if you don't know how many kilowatts of electricity or how many gallons of diesel you used, well, then you can go in and it'll estimate that based on depth of the water table and how many inches you pumped and so forth. So there's a lot of things in that. But as you get better, your footprint becomes smaller. So let me get my mouse again. We can see soil conservation, which is soil erosion. And see here, both we're a lot better than the national average. You get the soil carbon. That's the soil conditioning index. Basically, that's telling where we're getting better over time, staying the same, or getting worse over time. And here, we're losing ground. We're not as good as the national average. We come over here to irrigation water use efficiency, we're outside the national average. You come over here to greenhouse gas and energy, we're both well inside the national average. Now, when we get in, and if you get, you know, the field print calculators online, you can Google field to market field print calculator and go to the website and see that. If you get in and play with it, and I know some of y'all, I know some of y'all in here have been on there, but you know, and as through the council and working with research and working with Dr. Johnson, we put different things in there to see how different things impacted your footprint. And so there's two things, you know, and what the supply chain wants is us to be more sustainable. So we want to have a smaller footprint. Well, there's two things that we can do to have a very drastic impact on our footprint. One is to reduce tillage or go to no-till, and the other is to use cover crops. So here's a couple of example footprints. This is the one over on your right, is the one that we were just looking at. That's a conventional till with no cover crop. Come over here to this other side and look. Lint yield, in this particular case, we saw a little bit better yield with no till. So our land use is basically the same. But look at soil conservation. Our soil erosion went down I can't remember in this case if it was 0.4 tons or whatever compared to something like around a 3 to a 5 ton. A lot of these fields here in the delta that we're working with, the T values are around about 5. But see a big reduction in soil conservation or in soil erosion. And so what's causing that? Well, in this particular case, we went to no-till and we used a cover crop. And so the cover crop is really having the biggest impact on that. But when we till our soil and all that, then that sets us up for wind erosion and different things. So both of those kind of tag team together to help us with soil erosion. And when we go to soil carbon, a big difference. See, we were well above the national average with conventional tillage and all that, and that means we're losing ground. If the soil conditioning index, say, you know, doing what you're doing now over the next 10 years, is organic matter or your soil carbon going to go up, stay the same, or down? If it's going to go up, it's you get a positive number. If it stays the same, it's zero. And then you got a negative number. But basically, with the tillage and no cover crop, then we're backing up on organic matter. And irrigation water use efficiency, you can see we made a big improvement in that. So when you look at this, the main thing, you know, when we look at that, a smaller footprint's better. And so when you think about no-till and a cover crop, you're going to have less soil eroding from the field, and we see that in this. What's another thing that's going to happen? What does your runoff from that field look like? When you have a cover crop on there, a lot of times you go to that field or go to the edge of the field after a rain event, that water's clear coming off the field. And so you can see where we have a big impact on the water quality index. And, you know, not a lot of difference. You know, if you look at tillage energy, it's in a situation. It varies in different places, but in the Mid-South, Dr. Johnson, I can't remember what the numbers were in Texas, but I know in Arkansas, our tillage energy is probably in a neighborhood of maybe 10%. So we don't see a big difference there in that, but those are two things that we can do to be more sustainable. So what the supply chain is wanting, they want a smaller footprint. They need us to be more sustainable, right? What does a farmer want? He's got to be profitable. And so if I'm going to go to a farmer and get him to do some of these things that our customers want on our cotton, well, then I have to have that carrot. And Barry, if I go to you and say, if you implement these practices on your farm, it'll make your environmental footprint a lot smaller. And so you'll probably go, yeah, okay, that's good. But if I say, if you do these practices, it'll make you more profitable, then you're probably going to sit up and listen more. And so that's what we're trying to do in our program here. And I've gone way over time. But we had three sites, worked with three farmers in 2016. 2015, we had one site down in Deschutes County. But this last year, we had five different fields working with farmers in their particular situations. Down in Deschutes County, we tag-teamed this with Arkansas Discovery Farms. So basically what they did, the farmer is down outside of Dumas, Arkansas, Steve Stevens. He had four fields that were enrolled in the Discovery Farm. And so basically the Discovery Farm, what they're interested in is edge of field water quality. And so they're wanting to know, they're really not, the Discovery Farm itself is really not into telling the farmer what they need to do, but they want to keep track of what the farmer does and see how those inputs impact the edge of field water quality. So when I came back to Arkansas from the National Cotton Council, you know, I thought, man, this tool is great, because we never really had a tool to really help us fine-tune what we're doing on the farm, kind of like this. So what we've done, we've gone in on the Weaver field and the Shop field. We basically cut those fields in half. You know, they have flumes on there, and those fields are all watered in two sets. And so our runoff from those, they can measure the runoff from irrigation and look at water quality separately. So we can split a field in half, and here's we can do what we're wanting them to look at, the no-till with a cover crop, compared to what they're doing. Steve Stevens, most of his is a stale seed bed. Sometimes he's using more and more cover crops. And you know, when I work with farmers and get them started using cover crops, I haven't worked with one yet that has quit the cover crops. They get into it. There's a learning curve. In fact, I had a learning curve with my research. when you get in the real world, you learn things. But they continue to use more and more, and that's kind of what Steve's doing. The fields we worked in were fields that he'd had a cover crop in before, but he'd never gone to no-till. So basically we have some of those set up to where we can look at what's going on in the field from the different irrigations. And each one of those, I mentioned there's a flume. They measure the runoff. There's automatic samplers that they can pull their samples from. There's meters on the well. So we know how much water's pumped on the field. We know how much water leaves the field. So we can calculate irrigation efficiency with that. And then Mike Daniels and his crew can look at dissolved solids and suspended solids in the runoff. So we're getting a lot of data out of this, and they find that a lot of the data that EPA is using in their models is a lot worse than what we're seeing coming off the field. So, and Steve, part of his driving force to join in this was that, you know, is agriculture a problem? At first he was very concerned about having EPA and everybody else on his farm knowing what was going on. But then he got to thinking, well, is agriculture the problem? If they are the problem, then we need to fix it. And if they're not the problem, then we need to let everybody know. So that's kind of the direction we were going. And it's beginning to look like that we're not as big of a, or not the big problem that a lot of people think and a lot of the data that the models are using. So there's a lot of things that are coming in with this. So I mentioned data collected. Basically all the inputs, a lot of things like depth to water table, how far it is from your gen, as we keep track of embedded energy, all the inputs, like your fertilizer, it takes energy to produce your fertilizer. They account for that. There's in the planting seed. It takes energy to produce your planting seed and all that. So they calculate how much embedded energy is in the seed. So they look at all of this through the year. And then working with Archie, he needs to know what size tractor we use, what size equipment we use, all of our inputs, so that he can do a budget on those, just kind of like we do our state production budgets. And so we have all that data. Here at Steve's, this is kind of early on our no-till with a cover crop. We flew on cereal rye. We shot for a bushel an acre, 56 pounds, and it worked out pretty close to that. On the other side is a stale seed bed, and he hit the row, you know, he harvested the cotton, shredded stalks, and went out with a hipper, hit the rows, went out with a fertilizer buggy, and put his rye out, and then run a roller over it. And so you see some cover crop coming up, but it's a little bit further behind on that, and that's an early picture. That's kind of what we're looking at. But in all these different locations with Steve Stevens, we have fields with him compared to his practices. With the other locations, we're splitting the field, comparing the no-till with a cover crop to whatever else they're doing to see how they compare. And there was one morning I was getting ready to go to work, and 13 seconds? 4 minutes, okay. All right. Anyway, it was getting a bit really big rain down at Steve's, and I got busy, and it was almost middle of the afternoon before I called him and said, "Steve, run out and take a picture of that field to see if you see a difference." And the field on the top left is the no-till with the cover. Hardly any water standing. You look at his stale seed bed, where he's got the rye cover crop out there, but a lot of water standing. It's just not soaking in as well as it did in the no-till. So we're seeing some big differences there. Soil health indicators. Working with Steve Stevens, the fields we were in, he had cereal rye in there in the previous years. One field has 2 years, other fields in 5 years, cereal rye. But in some of the other locations, I was very surprised, and Jay, I don't know if you've seen this, but we had earthworms, and a lot of earthworms in fields where he had not had a cover crop in there in years. And we had just a lot more earthworms than I was expecting to find, even after just 1 year of a cereal rye cover crop. And I think earthworms are kind of an indicator because there's a lot of things. There's fungi, there's bacteria, there's all kinds of things going on in the soil, and kind of earthworms are kind of like the whale of the ocean. But the earthworms, I think, are an indicator that things are working well. And I was just surprised at how much we saw that. But you saw some of these pictures. And if any of y'all have furrow irrigated cotton and had to carry a shovel around, you know how aggravating it is when you don't have the bed that you need to get water down the road. And when we were going in this, we had one field that was pretty flat. And Steve was very concerned that we wouldn't be able to get water down the road. Johnny Hunter, a producer up in Missouri, has developed a furrow runner plow that goes in to kind of clean that up. When we look at, I don't have that picture. But when we look at what's going on, it kind of creates just a little bit of a trench. But we have the residue on the side and residue on top of the row. And the residue helps decrease the amount of evaporation from the soil. And it also helps buffer soil temperatures. Because microbial activity or biological activity doesn't do so well when it's 120 degrees. And we look down here, Steve is going through running his water furrows. He had a cover crop to start with, but he's covering it completely up. He's throwing dirt all the way up to the top of the middles. Bottom line is, what did we see? Where we did the cover crop, the no-till with the cover crop, the water run down the rows slower. The cover crop was part of that, but it's soaked all the way up to the top, whereas in the others it didn't. But when we looked at soil compaction and soil moisture, it was consistently higher any time we measured it through the year in the no-till with a cover crop compared to what Steve and even all the other farmers are doing. In 2015, we had great results. The no-till, we had about 175-pound lint difference. So we thought, boy, this thing is really good. Then we get into this last year. We didn't see quite the same results. We ran into places, we had a learning curve, we had a hard time getting a stand. There were a lot of things going on. But then when we started looking at this data a little bit more, when we go into the fields where it wasn't the first year of a cover crop, going no-till with a cover crop, then we still saw a yield bump with a no-till, and that was about 70, that was about 50 pounds. And we get to the fields where it was the very first year going no-till, first year with a cover crop, we were about 156 pounds off. So maybe I think there's something going on there that as we get into this that we'll see. The fields that we had 2 years data on are fields that have been in cover crop before. And we see there's a 113-pound difference in yield. So there's something going on here that we want to follow through. Profitability, in the fields where we have 2 years, there's still a 6 cents cost per pound advantage to go in no-till with a cover crop compared to the farmer standard. And I think this is a good place for me to stop. But I think, when you go no-till, a lot of people that are committed to no-till say you have to be committed. A lot of them say sell all your till equipment and so that you don't, when things get busy, I know all, by human nature, when things get busy, we do what we know best. If we have the tillage equipment and all that stuff, then we'll just go back to it. But a lot of them, say you have to be committed to it and hang with it. And I think this data shows that it may be the first year or when you first get into it, it may not be quite there, but it'll get with you. And then down the road in some of the measures, it was very consistent, even though some of these where we didn't have a yield the positive yield response, when we look at the sustainability measures, we had a positive response. And in this particular situation, we had a great deal. So sorry I didn't manage my time much better and get all the way through, but thank you for your attention.